Episode 0000 Error.
Oh, what is this? I don't even know what these buttons do. What does this button do? Oh, hell, let's just play it. I like this song.
Stick it in my ass. Oh, yeah. You like fucking my ass? Yeah, come on.
Spike and Rachel.
You like fucking my ass? Ooh. Oh, yeah, I'm a dirty fucking whore.
Oh, Belladonna, you unapologetic anal whore. Wow, it has been a long time. And I can't get used to the delay. How did I ever get used to this? Have they even fixed that yet? I'm recording back when we did the first one using the same equipment. I bought hundreds of dollars worth of professional equipment, and we did one show with all of that equipment. And I'm talking slow because I can hear myself. Sorry, guys. Very unprofessional of me. Sorry I didn't have a beer or two. I'm doing this sober, which is awful. I am, however, smoking. And welcome to the end. I'm breaking a promise. I promised Rachel I wouldn't record another show without her. I may turn monitoring off because I can't get used to this fucking delay. There we go. That's a little better. I'm taking my headphones off. Yeah, if I don't do this now, you guys won't have one day to download it. So if any of you guys still have our feed still up for... How long have we been gone? 2 or 3 years? This is a special ending podcast for the fans that... will accidentally find it. I hold on, I gotta pause. I can't deal with this delay. Okay, are we back? Okay, good. I have taken the headphones off because I don't know how I ever got used to that. The delay is fucking me up big time. There's some kind of digital delay. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, the way to fix it with the mixing board is to listen to what we're doing live and fuck whatever the computer's doing. But the way we used to record is put all the audio into the Mac and then here. So we're listening to the process signal going through the Mac into the headphones. It's fucking ridiculous. I understand now why I had the board and everything was wonderful. Anyways, I'm wasting your time. I've spent almost 5 minutes now just describing old bullshit that nobody cares about. Podcasts have come a long way since when we started, and there's a million of them now, and I don't listen to one of them. I can't. It drives me insane, makes me sad, makes me wish for the old days. But let's get back to plan. I have no sheet in front of me. I'm doing this off the cuff. I kind of wanted to do it this way. I kind of wanted to do it drunk, but it's probably better that I'm sober. I'm going to do this in three parts. First, reminisce, do a little show like we used to do, video games, movies, no sex, saving that for the future. Then I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the second thing. I'm going to get a little heavy and explain why the show hasn't happened. And then part three, super heavy, uncomfortable, just sadness. So you should probably shut it off when I go to part three. Just say, fuck this, I don't want to. If the second part's depressed you, then stop listening to the third part. And I, by no means do I want this to be a downer, which is why I'm going to start fun and go downhill. And by fun, I mean I'm just going to rail on shit I hate. I can't even keep track of what has happened since the last episode. I know there's been an incredible amount of stuff. I think we have a new president now. All this stuff's happened. I can't go back and try to say, okay, what did I not talk about? What was exciting over the past 2 or 3 years? But for right now, since we are a gaming sex movie podcast, I'm just looking at my stack of old games over here. I haven't bought anything new. I have no money to, but I don't think I ever mentioned how much I love Assassin's Creed. And if you don't like Assassin's Creed, then you're un-American. I haven't played the last one, the end of Ezio, and it's going to make me sad because he's old, grumpy Ezio, but Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood are amazing fucking games. They're definitely worth $60. I'm glad I skipped the first one. If I would have played Assassin's Creed 1, I would have never, ever played the series ever again. I played 1 after I was while waiting for this last one to come out. And, I don't understand people that like the first one. I can understand the it had potential, but as a game, it's painful. The second one to me is probably the best. Brotherhood is just 2.5 with a lot more stuff to do. I like the addition of the assassins you can train that can come out and save your ass when you need them, though. That's kind of cool. I finished both Dead Spaces 1 and 2. That is probably the scariest game I've played since Silent Hill. Not a lot of good horror games out these days. I feel like the Frugal Gamer podcast now or something, but if you haven't played Dead Space, it's definitely worth picking up. It's got a lot of... and the surround sound. Oh my fucking god. The surround sound on Dead Space is important. You need that. Oh, the other thing I love about Assassin's Creed is teaching... you get to learn a lot of Italian insults. That's fun. But I'm boring you with this. I'm talking about old games that you already know about. Saints Row 3's come out. I'm waiting to pick that up. That's going to be fun. If you're online, you should play that with me. Probably in another month or two, I'll have enough money to buy it. And I'm replaying Mass Effect 1 and 2 because I've been told that... actually, I replayed 1, finished it, and realized that it was a complete waste of time because the only time I cheated on my girlfriend was in Mass Effect 2. And I've heard that you're going to be punished in Mass Effect 3 if you cheat on whoever you picked. And I feel bad because I really did like Liara. Except Tali was too much temptation. So I'm replaying it, and even though I'm a paragon, I'm replaying it as a monogamous paragon, which is hard because I'm like fucking Captain Kirk in these games. If it's an alien and I can hit it, then I will. It's funny, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I've noticed a pattern. Any game that allows you to be good or evil, I always play as good. I can't bring myself to play as an evil character, ever. Even if I replay the game 2 or 3 times, I end up always playing as the good guy. Oh, I know, I rented... what the fuck? Infamous 2. I'm looking to pick that up used, because Infamous 1 was one of the most what's the word I'm looking for? Sleeper hit. I don't know. I loved Infamous. I didn't expect anything from the first one, but when I played it, I was like, holy shit, this game is good. So Infamous 2, I heard, is really good, too. It's at Redbox, actually, so I played like 4 hours of it before I had to take it back. $2 for a video game, or is it $4? Can't be beat. Sadly, a lot of the good Xbox games you can't get on Redbox because they're 2 discs. That's why if you're a PS3 owner, Redbox is the shit, because all PS3 games come on 1 disc. I'm still of the opinion, though, unless it's an exclusive for the PS3, I would never buy it for the PS3. All these games are obviously designed for the Xbox and then ported, sometimes badly ported. Once again, conversations we've already had. Hold on, I got to move the mic. I think it's getting too close. There we go. Well, if you're listening to this and you're a fan of the show, and God, I know you just want me to like apologize or tell you what the fuck's been going on, but no, I won't do that yet. Oh, let's see, film. I saw the Thing prequel the other day. Not as good as the John Carpenter version, but entertaining. It just seemed like all the good ideas that were in... Damn, this mic. All the good ideas that were in this new version of the film were just taken directly from Carpenter. So, plus, what are you going to do? There's dogs, there's ice, flamethrowers. I wouldn't say better effects. Computer-generated effects, yes, but they look computer-generated. I think the effects in John Carpenter's film, or, you know, his remake, just look better because they're real. Oh, there's a microphone. Motherfucker, I'm going to punch you in the face. I think this is Rachel's old headset, because the mic is all bent, all crazy. I had to... Hold on. Damn it. There we go. Sorry. I'm not going to edit out any of these cracks and pops and hisses. I don't have the time. The servers are only going to be up for a day. Back to movies. Oh, did we ever talk about Let the Right One In? Incredibly, I know this is an old film, but incredibly powerful film. Better than the remake, Let Me In. If you haven't seen Let Me In yet, don't. Watch Let the Right One In with the subtitles. Make sure you get the new DVD release or rent it on Netflix or watch it on Netflix. What you're going to look for is the theatrical subtitles. That's the new code for the correct subtitles. If you bought the DVD when it first came out and watched it like you should with the subtitles, not the stupid dub version, the subtitles were wrong, and even the company that released the film belittled the whole situation, saying, oh, if it wasn't for blogs and these idiot internet faggots, no one would have noticed. Yes, we would have, because the dialogue is really important in that film, because it's kind of sparse, and... Anyways, they really fucked it up. So yeah, get the new DVD, or I think Netflix, the streaming version, has the better subtitles. It's the best vampire film I've seen in 10 years, at least. And the remake is good, but it's just not as good. And the problem with the remake is the ending is... Like, the ending of Let Me In is my favorite. I mean, there's so many good... Oh, sorry, Let the Right One In. Well, okay, the American version is Let Me In. The ending of Let Me In is not even as... I'd say a third as powerful as the original, Let the Right One In. Now, I just got finished listening to the unabridged audiobook on that. I've been doing a part-time job driving in the middle of the night, so I have to listen to a lot of... audiobooks. So I listened to the original Let the Right One In audiobook on that, and I have to say it's probably one of the best translated from book to film, in that they cut out everything that should have been cut out. I think the book is really sort of, it's good, but it's padded. There's so many unimportant characters. The alcoholics, God, they spend so much time on the group of alcoholics in the cafe or in the Chinese restaurant in the book. And Tommy and all these other characters that you're just like, why are these people important? Because I don't remember them in the book at all. Or sorry, in the movie at all. Oh God, it's already 15 minutes. I promised myself I'd keep this to 45. So, homework. If you haven't seen it, actually, I don't even tell you to rent this. Buy it. Buy the DVD, not the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray's got incorrect subtitles, unless you buy the UK version. And I heard that the UK Blu-ray will actually play on an American PS3, but I'm not sure. So, go out, buy the new version. Look on the back for theatrical subtitles. Let the right one in. It deserves to be in your library if you haven't seen it. And if you hate it, then you don't like film. I don't understand you. Fuck you. So, all right, enough talking about stuff I like. Let's talk about stuff I don't understand and hate. What's up with this Walking Dead shit? Or should I say, what's up with this walk you Walking Dead fans? I call you Walking Dead apologists because the best thing about The Walking Dead was the preview that we got, the commercial for it, 6 months before it came out on Halloween of like last year or something. And the first episode showed potential. Now, I've been told that the comic book is amazing. I picked up the comic book and flipped through it for 2 or 3 minutes a couple of months ago. The artwork I thought was mediocre. The story might be good, but I'm shallow if I'm not impressed by the visuals in a comic book. I can't read it. Plus, I think it's black and white. So, not that black and white's bad. It's just I flipped through it and I was like, oh, this artwork's kind of, It's kind of like everybody says the Sandman's awesome, but isn't the Sandman drawn by like a whole bunch of different artists and some of them blow? So I don't know how good the comic book is, but apparently a lot of people are pissed off because the TV show is not as good as the comic. But there are a lot of people that seem to think that the TV show is amazing. And boys and girls, you know us. You know Spike and Rachel. We are zombie. And I apologize, Rachel's not here. Once again, I'm breaking a promise. I promised I wouldn't record one more episode without her. Although she's done an ass load of podcasts that I haven't been involved in. Sorry, I'm not bitter. I'm just saying. Oh, which by the way, you got to go to her YouTube channel. Rachel's exploding on the internet, doing extremely well. Anyways, back to The Walking Dead. Yeah, that show kind of blows. I call it The Walking Dead and then the Zombies, because I couldn't give a fuck about any of the characters. I'm gonna try to watch the sixth or seventh episode of the season two tonight. And right now, the only person I care about is Daryl. I know he's a redneck racist fuck, but Jesus, he's the only one that's interesting anymore. Everyone else, I just want to die. If I was in their group, I would have left a long time ago. See, the thing is, I understand that the zombies are not an important character, and we don't have to have amazing zombie. I mean, yeah, you gotta have 2 or 3 zombie deaths per episode, but I just. Now, see, I've done a little research. I don't have anything in front of me, but I seem to remember that they had some extreme problems with the writers of the first season, and that a lot of people got fired, and they got other writers in to take over and try to fix the thing. If that's true, then they must have hired the clones of whoever wrote the first season. I don't see a difference. It's the same thing. It's people doing. It's people acting unrealistically or something. It's another one of these George Romero problems where they start saying, "No, we're the enemy. You know, the problem isn't the zombie apocalypse. The problem is that these people can't get along because she cheated on her husband back when she thought he was dead." And this, it's just all these people that suck. I hate them all. I hate them, and I want to like them. I want to like the show. I want to support. Oh, you gotta stop that popping. I'm gonna punch you in the face. This has been the problem from episode one, this stupid laptop popping like fucking. Anyways, it's like I'm reliving the first episode all over again. It's killing me. So yeah, I'll continue watching The Walking Dead. I don't understand. I feel like I'm falling further and further away from reality and you know, like Alice in Wonderland, or I took the green pill, or I'm on crazy pills. I don't understand all this fanaticism about how awesome the show is when it's so mediocre. It could be so much better. And if the comic book is so awesome, why isn't the show? And anyways, that's my little tirade on that. I could go off, you know, on each individual character. I mean, god damn it, are we going to spend a whole season about a half-dead kid and trying to find another kid? Or a whole season about trying to save a racist motherfucker on the top of a roof from the last season? Ugh, just losers, all of them. Oh, and speaking of Romero, I'm not a Romero fan anymore when it comes to his films. I saw Land of the Dead or Diary of the Dead or whatever. He keeps making them. And the last one I saw was actually slightly interesting, where they're on sort of an island and half the island wants to exterminate the zombies and the other half think it's, you know, no, we'll use them as cattle or teach them to farm the land. I don't know. It's kind of silly, but it wasn't as bad as Land of the Dead with John Leguizamo. Ugh. That was... So yeah, I think we're getting zombified out. I think after The Walking Dead, we'll be done. And hopefully after the Twilight Saga thing is done, we'll be done with fucking we'll be done with vampires. Okay, I want to keep this quick, so let's talk about other cool stuff. Misfits, British show Misfits, not the band, the show Misfits. It's in its third season. This is a show you have to watch. You have to watch season one. Season one's amazing. Season two is pretty good. Season three, well, it just started, and it doesn't seem to have any direction yet, whereas the other first two seasons, the writer, I think it's just the one guy, had an obvious start and finish plan. He knew exactly where he was going with it, and you can tell. And there's a lot of love in that show. It's like Heroes meets the British Skins or something. It's good. If you haven't seen it, well, you're gonna have to import it, or download it illegally on torrents, which I would advise you not to do. But yeah, Misfits, excellent show. See, when I'm trying to find entertainment now, I have to look outside of America. I'm getting kind of bored with that stuff. Like, you know, films, TV. Jesus, they're still making Spooks, which in America is called MI5. Or is it MI6? They keep killing off the main characters in that show. It's hard to get attached. Oh, let's see. What else is good and what else can I turn you on? Oh, look for a film called The Holy Mountain. If you do drugs or drink, I would suggest that you get insanely high or drunk and watch The Holy Mountain. Even without any drugs, if you watch The Holy Mountain, you will feel like you're on drugs. I haven't made it all the way through yet. I made about two-thirds of the way, and how about this? There's a guy that craps, I think he craps in a bowl. They then encase him in a glass case and burn his poo, and he inhales it, and he gets high, and then his poo turns to gold. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. It's extremely weird, and it's worth your watch. It's worth watching. I should have written a list, huh? Should have been more prepared. Well, okay, fuck it, I'm wasting time. Let's just get into it, shall we? I have to stop the show. What are you talking about, Spike? You stopped it years ago. Yeah, but now I really have to. I can't afford to pay for the servers anymore. So I have to take down the servers. I've got negative bank account balances. Every time the server fee hits, I go into the red. And I've gone way too far into the red now, where I'm trying to, you know, not drown in debt. So I have to take my three websites down. Oh, yeah, what about the third? You knew about one of them. Possibly you knew about spikedigital.com, but you didn't know about the third one. Anyways, yeah, all three of my sites are going down for now. For now, I expect that when life gets better and I get a better job and can actually afford to pay my bills, I will find cheaper hosting, possibly using the cloud. I hear that cloud thing is the way to go these days. And get somebody that'll help me set it up. Possibly even put Spike and Rachel back up so it can download. I'm pretty sure that when the server's gone, that our iTunes channel will disappear. It might have already disappeared. I don't know if they have any. If iTunes has any. You know, rules on if a podcast hasn't gone up in so much time that it just gets removed. I don't know. I haven't even looked. I can't even remember my passwords to log in, and I have no control over the iTunes uploads anymore. I mean, other than, you know, it grabbing it from our feed, I can't even remember what account I used to get in there and start it. I tried to the other day, and I was just lost. Actually, I've had to reteach how to even hook all this stuff up, which is why I took the headphones off, because the goddamn delay is driving me insane. Okay, so, I have to take it down. I don't have any money. Haha. The economy sucks right now. It sucks for photographers, and if you work in the industry, then you understand. Stop it with the popping. Piece of shit. So why did I stop, though? For so long and yet keep the website up and keep promising you guys that I was going to come back or I was going to do a Halloween special. I was going to do a Halloween special, I think 2 years in a row. I was like, this year's happening, I'm doing a Halloween special. Well, as some of you may know, Rachel moved to California. And then shortly after, Evil B and his lovely wife moved to California. And those were my podcasting buddies. Those were the people I was most comfortable doing the show with, and I had some other people, friends, try to get me back into it, or, you know, hey, we should do one, and I don't know, I kind of lost, it's not that I lost interest, it's just that I really felt like we had a chemistry, or the balance was right. I felt like Rachel was the sweetness that balanced out my sourness. That it allowed me to be over the top brutal, whereas if I did the show with someone else, I really feel like I would just come off as a super asshole even more than I already do. Which, of course, there's, you know, podcasting Spike, and then there's Spike in real life. It's two different people. But the real thing is that I couldn't pull off a show on my own, and when I thought that I could, and I did record several by myself, I put a poll up on the website, on spikeandrachel.com, and I asked you guys, or the faithful listeners, would you rather me not do a show if I can't do it with Rachel, or would, you know, is it okay for me to do solo shows? And like 73% of you guys said no, like no to Spike solo shows. So, that really broke my heart, because I feel like I put a lot of effort into it, and I know that I couldn't carry it alone, but I thought that, you know, that would get by until I figured out how to do some sort of Skype recording with Rachel, which she's done. I was a guest in one of the shows she did with somebody on a Skype show. I hate Skype shows. I've said this a million times. I can't look at somebody in the face. I hate talking on the phone. I hate Skype talking. It's like walkie-talkie talking to me. I can't figure out when I'm going to speak and read people's emotions other than just the inflection of their voice, which is not enough. So that's why I didn't ever really get a Skype show running with Rachel, because it just felt wrong. It felt like it would be sterile. And distance sucks, you know. I haven't kept in touch with Evil B or Rachel as much as I'd like. We've played some online, But everybody's busy, and there's a time difference. And it's sad, but that's the way it goes. Also, if you're a faithful listener, you probably realize that I was, towards the end of the podcast, I was taking care of my dad, who was, what is that stupid expression? Battling cancer. You know. Or how about we just say dying from cancer? Because that's what he was. The last year, he was pretty much bedridden. The year before that, he was in a wheelchair. It was just a slow, degrading process. And, degrading? Is that right? I guess that's the right word. It was a slow, awful process. Anyways, so my dad died, and, I was going to talk about that at the end to really, like, bum people out or something, just to, because that's one of those experiences that's interesting to talk about, I guess. But no, the other reason I couldn't do the podcast anymore was because I felt like I was just angry and sad and just not excited to do it. Not that I don't like doing the podcast, but the idea of doing it on my own, or like I said, trying to Skype it, just felt like I was, I'd just be going through the motions and, not giving you guys a high quality show like the beginning of this episode. Holy fucking shit, was that awful. I apologize. Normally I've had a couple. I was just trying to give you guys homework of stuff that's interesting, but Jesus, when I talk about old ass fucking games and old ass movies that everybody's probably already seen anyways. Yeah, so a lot's changed. Life is continuing to be a struggle. I think I've mentioned before in the past that there's a difference between surviving and living. And it seems like the last 3 or 4 years, it's just been surviving, struggling, not really living. So, that's why the show hasn't happened. I apologize for that. I don't want to fake it. If I wasn't in a good mood, if I wasn't excited and being positive and like, yeah, I'm going to fucking do this and it's going to be awesome, then I didn't want to do it. It's not like I'm getting paid. I did this, we did the podcast because we loved it and we're excited about it. It got in the way of real life. It got in the way in that, I'd have to hold back from talking to Evil B and Rachel about things. I'd have to be like, save it for a podcast, save it for the podcast. It'll be more interesting if we talk about it there. So basically the podcast was just a way of us talking about our lives and the interesting things that happens, you know, and our fucked up, twisted little lives and documenting it and, you know, letting everybody listen and be a fly on the wall. But Rachel's doing extremely well. at least I think she is, getting a lot of hosting jobs and seems to have quite a following online. Her Facebook friend list is amazing. I told her I don't ever try to talk to her through Facebook because she only posts on Facebook through her Twitter account, which means she never checks Facebook. And that's the other problem. I'm stopped adding people on Facebook because if you just add thousands of friends, then when you look at your lists of like, oh, what are my friends doing? It's just thousands of people you don't know. And it's not interesting. I only want to see what my friends that I see and hang out with are doing. Everybody else, well, it's cool, but it gets to be a monster of information that I just can't keep track of. And my new theory on Facebook is an old one, is that if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything, which I've changed into, if you're not in a good mood, then don't get on Facebook. Facebook's not a fun place to go on there and just bitch and moan about life. Facebook to me is more exciting for people to put post, you know, cool pictures of exciting things they've done and projects they're working on. So I do post, like, you know, photography stuff that I've done that I think is cool, or mostly it's a calendar for me to understand, okay, what events are going on, what are my friends doing, and post links that I think are interesting, videos and stuff. God, am I a boring motherfucker or what? I'm going to have to throw in a sex story just to make you guys keep listening. But I don't want to. I want to talk with Rachel about that. I have an interesting story. I have a new addition to my... I have something checked off my list. Something that was on my list for a long time that I get to check off now, but I'm not going to tell you about it, because I'd be wasted talking about it by myself. Yeah, so I have no fear. I'm coming back. It might not be the Spike and Rachel show, but it'll be Spike and something. And, once the job becomes stable, once I start making money again and can afford, servers, and then maybe a smartphone. Basically, you know, people are laughing at me and going like, oh my god, I can't believe you spend $100 a month on a server. I'm like, yeah, it's expensive, but that's because I basically had a porn server. I had a server that, well, not, I didn't put porn on it, but that had unlimited bandwidth that I could put stuff on and no one would ever question. Because I, you know, I do photography. It's got some fetish stuff on there. It's slightly dirty. Some hosting companies are wary of certain content because they believe that it would siphon too much bandwidth. You know, anything with titties. Ooh, titties is going to cause trouble. It's going to steal bandwidth, and we're going to charge you out the ass. So, yeah, I mean, and that all comes back from the old days of the old Rachel.com and all that old stuff. I just kept it. And in fact, I thought I was going to get rid of it a year ago, but somehow, amazingly, as if some sign from God, every month I barely would get enough money, just enough to almost cover it, and then bam, negative bank account. And every month was a battle for the first of the month to, oh God, can I put it, where's the money? I need to have $100 just to keep my server up. Cause I'm going to do the podcast. I'm going to go back. I'm not leaving it, but I guess I did leave it. But yeah, it's, God, I'm wheezing like a motherfucker. Sorry. I don't have the time. If I try to edit this thing down, I'm never even going to get it put it up. So I apologize for the coughs. Normally I'm militant about going through the whole file and deleting any coughs or hiccups, or when anybody makes the mistake of calling me by my real name. How dare you? Don't you dare call me Ben. Yeah, I'm sad, guys. I wish I would have done more. I missed you. I missed you guys. I missed talking to you. I miss hearing from you. I miss when the message board was interesting. But life gets in the way. And, yeah, I've lost some joy in my life. I mean, I lost two good friends. I haven't lost them. I know where they are. I have three good friends in California. But I never get a chance to go out there and see them. And when they do come to town, it's very short, the amount of time I can spend with them. I don't want to have too much dead air here. What's happened since? Let's catch up a little bit. I've been through two failed relationships since the last episode. One which was a very healthy relationship, but, 9 hours of drive time difference between us pretty much ended that. Then I had a fun relationship for a month and a half or 2 months that ended abruptly by a text message. You know you're living in the future when you get dumped by a text message. That's love. But that one was doomed to fail anyways. It was just... made me a little bit more bitter. I don't like being dumped by a text message. That's just me. At least do it over the phone, and some people say that that's rude, but Jesus, at least if I, you know. little respect, if you please. Oh, before I forget, I moved some stuff. Well, I haven't moved anything. I just made some space for me on the net that I don't have to pay for. So spikedigital.tumblr.com and Spike and Rachel on YouTube is still there. I'm thinking about moving some of the videos or some of the podcasts over to the YouTube channel. I never got around to doing that. Who would have guessed this whole YouTube thing would take off? Actually, I'm a fan of Vimeo. I prefer Vimeo. Doing, you know, sort of high definition video stuff, projects. I don't know. Vimeo's just a more interesting client. Seems to have more professionals on there, as opposed to the YouTube kids that post shitty cell phone videos of bands that I don't give a fuck about and you can't hear, and they're screaming and bouncing around. I'm like, why did you upload that? Who the fuck cares? But yeah, if you get big enough on YouTube, you get a paycheck. That's crazy. All right, so I kind of mixed part one with part two. The part two was why the show's not happening, which is everybody moved to California and I stayed in North Carolina. Well, fuck it. I wanted to keep this short. So, part three. What's going on with moi? So, my dad died. I mentioned that. I haven't told a lot of people. Well, only a couple of close friends how that ended. I think it's an interesting story. Before that, I just like to mention that if you see your mom or your dad slowly, and a friend of mine just lost his mother, actually. That sucks so bad. I mean, losing a parent sucks, but I love my dad. I love my mom. When my mom goes, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. But, you know, with my dad, it was a slow process. So it wasn't... I think slow gives you more time to get prepared, and I think one of the creepiest things, or one of the weirdest things my dad ever said to me was that it doesn't hurt, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about, and I asked him, and he was like, it doesn't hurt dying, you know, because he knew he was dying. And apparently he told other people when I wasn't in the house taking care of him that he was just, you know, staying around for me, which seems like an excuse for him, actually, but no. I mean, I'm glad he did, but I was hoping the last couple years that there would be some huge revelation or some huge connection between us, more than, you know, there was, like, some, okay, before I go, I just want to tell you this, or here's something I never told you, or let's have a real heart-to-heart for once in our life that's, you know, no bullshit, serious talk. But that never happened. And I don't know if it was my fault that I didn't encourage that kind of conversation. But my dad wasn't a very emotional guy, so he didn't like opening up, so it was pretty much same old, same old. I was just finding him, trying to find him interesting films and stuff to keep him entertained. It sucks when you're bedridden. I mean, I had a cold once, and I was in bed for more than 12 hours, and my body just ached just from that. So imagine being in a bed for almost an entire year. Pretty fucking hardcore. Oh, so I don't lose it. I need to hurry up and finish this story of how it ended. He was in and out of hospitals a lot. So much so that I feel like I got pretty good at being able to judge, like, oh, he just needs another liter of saline and he'll be good to go. Forcing my father to eat and take his medicine. Well, I didn't force the medicine so much. He had nurses that would come over and help with that, but I to get him to drink the Ensure. Ensure is what they give dying people. It's got enough nutrients and vitamins that you can kind of live off of it for a while if you have like two or three of those shakes a day. Sucks when you're diabetic, though, because then you have to drink the really shitty tasting ones. I had to come up with new and exciting ways of making smoothie, ensure smoothies so he would drink it, you know, with ice in a blender and stuff like that. It almost tasted like a Wendy's Frosty. But no, he was in and out of hospitals a lot. Fell off the bed a couple of times. It's probably one of the worst times of my life was the first time he fell down, I got him up, but it was only because my dad was a big guy, big fat guy. Not so much when he was sick because he started to lose all that weight, but I once got him up. I picked him up off the ground only because I could brace my back against a door frame. Every other time, it was just like trying to lift a weight that, you know, the heaviest thing you've ever tried to lift in your life, and you just feel like a failure because you can't lift your dad off the fucking ground, man. So I'd have to, you know, run over and get a neighbor to help me pick him up. And once I made the stupid mistake of going out of town to see my mom just for the day. And of course, even though I had people coming over here and checking on him, he fell off the bed and he was on the floor for hours. I had to get a friend to come over and pick him up and get him back on the bed. And my friend didn't struggle at all. So I was like, God, I'm a weak fucking wussy of a man that I can't lift my dad off the floor. I know it sounds stupid, but it's something that's going to stay with me forever. I should be going to the gym every day just to make up for that failure in my life. Okay, how about this? Funny enough, I'm doing a part-time job delivering medicines to nursing homes in the middle of the night. Those places are the most depressing things in the world. If I had to live the rest of my days, you know, 6 months to a year in a nursing home, I would end it quickly. I'm not going out like that. And the slow, painful way that my dad passed away, I'm not going out like that either. There's honor, I think, in choosing your time. And if you're suffering and your quality of life is at a certain place, I don't understand the stigma to it. Like, I know it's like a Christian thing or something, you Catholic, the ultimate sin is killing yourself, but anyway, that's what I learned from that. But the last story I'll give you, and then I'm going to end this on a somewhat positive note if I can. Here's the story. So I got a call. I got a call from the hospital. My dad, the last time my dad was in the hospital before he died, he was in there for 8 days. The first day, he was barely intelligible, or he could barely speak. The last thing I remember him saying on that day was that I was reassuring him about just got to get you a couple of pints back in you, because that was always the case. He was always dehydrated, never ate enough, never could get him to drink enough. He said that he just wanted to get better so he could go back to work. My dad, that's all my dad had really was his job. He was a certified public accountant, a CPA. He took a lot of pride in the fact that he was his own boss. By the second day, I wasn't even sure if he recognized me. He could barely speak. And I was trying to talk to him, but he wasn't really responding to me. And when the doctor came in, he wasn't really responding to her. So I thought he was just, you know, I was like, well, this is getting, maybe he just needs another pint or something. But she mentioned something about pain level, and he woke up enough to tell her that he was in pain. He wasn't aware enough or conscious, or he couldn't talk to me, really, but he could definitely let the doctor know that he was in pain. I felt kind of bad about that. By the third and fourth day, he was out of it. And by the fifth day, he was just, asleep. There's a thing that happens to your lungs, or your breathing, when you're about to die. It sounds like it's fluid collects in the lungs, and it's a gurgling sound. The nurse told me once when I was there that that means it's getting close to the end when you hear that sound. And I didn't need her to tell me that. You can pretty much guess. I've heard that sound before. And completely weird topic. One of our dogs died. Or was dying. And, had a really bad infection, and I firmly believe that there's a smell of death. You can actually smell it. You can smell death coming. Maybe it's just decaying flesh, maybe it's just diseased flesh or something, but it has a smell. I smelled it on my dog, and I smelled it on my dad. It's interesting. It's not like a dead animal. Like, a dead animal has a sweet smell to it that's disgusting. I remember the first time I smelled a dead animal, I was like, this is putrid, but it's got a sugar smell to it. It's something sweet. This smell is different. It's very wrong. Your nose picks up on it. There's something, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's not like any other scent you've ever smelled before, and I... It's one of the good things about being a smoker, I guess, is I have a super sense of smell that I can't stand. I fucking hate it. I hate being able to smell things so strongly, but I could smell that. Anyway, back to the story. So the gurgling noises and the nurse telling me that it was close to the end. So it was a Friday night. They told me that it was not going to be much longer, and I couldn't bring myself to sit by his bedside and wait for the time. He was not conscious. I don't know how I feel about that, actually. I feel like this is a confession, but I think it's slightly interesting, actually, so I just thought I'd mention it. You know, in the movies, I guess everybody's supposed to sit by the bedside and wait there and wait and wait. But, like, how morbid is that? And what is that? If you don't know, I mean, you're supposed to sit there. I guess some people would. I couldn't do it. I visited and I tried to be there, but I couldn't sit there all night long. I just felt like if I did that, then I was just sitting there waiting for him to die because he wasn't going to wake up. So anyway, that was Friday night. Saturday morning, got up as early as I could and decided to go to the hospital to check on him. And for some reason, on the way to the hospital, I stopped off at a Walmart because I had a cold. And I was like, I need to get some cold medicine before I go and see him. So I left my phone in the car and I went into the Walmart, and I got the cough medicine or cold medicine, and then I got back in the car, and I didn't check my phone. I just didn't even think about it. I left the phone sitting in the dash or something, and so I drove to the hospital not thinking about it. Now, here's the interesting thing. While I was in the Walmart, the hospital had called and left a voicemail. Of course, they can't say what happened, but they, you know, please call us back. I didn't get that voicemail. I didn't even know that I had a voicemail. So when I got back in the car, I just drove straight to the hospital. So I went up to his room, and there was no one there or anything. I was just like every other day. And I walked into his room, and the first thing I noticed is that, wow, it's really quiet in this room. There's no breathing machines. There's no beeping things or anything. It's just really quiet. And then that's when I looked at him, and I realized that he'd gone. And really shortly after that, somebody ran in the room, and I think the nurse felt really bad. I think she wanted to warn me or something before I came in. Or, I don't know, it's hard remembering exactly what was going on, but I think that she felt bad that somebody didn't stop me before I went in, or, I don't know, but I have to say, I'm 100% sure I'm glad that I found him that way, that I discovered, that I found out that he was dead on my own, you know? I didn't want to call. I didn't want somebody else to tell me. So I asked for a little privacy. Sorry. So I asked for a little privacy and I said goodbye to him. And that's how that ended. I guess it's not that big of a deal. I mean, the story. But I'm just glad that I discovered it on my own. I didn't want anybody to tell me. So, ever since that day, things have not been the same. And no, nobody's special. Nobody gets to suffer more. We all suffer. We're all going to lose someone. And the worst of it is that I'd like to say that I can't say that he was the best dad in the world. And I can't say that he was my hero. But he was my dad. And he did more for me than a lot of other people did. He didn't grow up with a dad, so I think he was kind of making it up as he went along. I think a lot of us do that. At some point, we grow up and we realize that there's no magic handbook on how to be an adult. I I think we're all just winging it, and we're doing the best we can. I think being a parent's probably one of the most frightening things in the world. I know I'm frightened of it. Oh, so I'm sorry I got really heavy on you there, guys. But that's the lurid details of the way things ended in the sort of mindset. I hadn't thought about it a lot recently. But ever since then, and somewhat before, seemed to just, the joy was just gone. The excitement, the enthusiasm, living, you know, really living life. It's just faded a bit. And it got to be a bit too much. And I couldn't fake the enthusiasm anymore, so I couldn't do the show. Oh, God, snot. Stupid snot. I wanted this to be 45 minutes. It's a goddamn hour now. Jesus Christ. Okay. Oh, sorry about that, guys. I didn't mean to bum you out. I thought it'd be interesting if I relived that and let you in on that. The most depressing, most fucked up, worst thing that's happened to me so far in my life. I've shared with you guys all the twisted, weird stuff and hopefully some of the really awesome things that's happened to my life. Happened to me in my life. Hopefully there'll be more. There's some stuff that I'd love to tell you about, but I can't. Gonna have to save that for later. But have no fear. If you get this, if one or two of you get this, I'll be back. I don't know when. But know that if I do come back, then things will be a lot better. I'll have money, and if I have a plan, and I will have a plan, because I won't fucking do another show until I have it planned out and figured out exactly what we're going to do with this motherfucker, it'll be entertaining, and try to do something that's not been done, because God knows there's enough podcasts out there already. So now that I'm well into an hour, and bummed you guys out for the past 30 minutes, Jesus Christ. This is Spike Digital signing off. I apologize, Rachel. I'm sorry she couldn't be here. I couldn't have told you that story, though, if she was. Love your parents. Forgive them if they've pissed you off at some point. Sometimes they don't know any better. Just like us, sometimes we don't know any better. I hope the economy gets better. I hope those of you like me that are suffering right now trying to find another job, I hope you find a job that not only are you good at, but that you enjoy. Because that's the two problems, is loving what you do, or doing what you love and getting paid for it, or at least having a job that you can tolerate and making some decent money. That's what I hope. When I find that, the servers will go back up, new and improved, and you'll hear from me again, and hopefully I'll hear from you guys. So take care, and maybe I'll see you sooner than later. Goodbye.